From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. Presented by AMM Collision. This is where Austin talks racing.
It is indeed where Austin talks racing. We are talking racing on Sunday. It is Sunday NASCAR race day in Austin, Texas. Can't tell you that I ever thought that we would be saying that. And we are live at Circuit of the Americas for the Echo Park Grand Prix. That will fire off at 1:30, special edition of Revved Up ATX. John Reichel back at the Horn Studios. Stu Myrick engineering on site right here. He'll be contributing to the show as well. Of course, Showtime Bobby Chaffee is right there. I am Rodney Rodriguez. Give us a follow on Twitter at the Horn ATX, at Revved Up ATX. We'll get you our Twitter handles out here in just a little bit. Diving in, we'll get you ready. We have your starting lineup. We'll recap everything happening on Saturday. But immediately we are jumping in. And the beauty of today is that a lot of times scheduling guests gets a little tricky, but we can pick a guest up right here on site. So that's about it. The beauty of NASCAR racing always been to me, because I'm a radio guy. I'm auditory. I like to listen to things. If you haven't heard a NASCAR race on the radio, it's like nothing else. Football, baseball, all of that is great. But a NASCAR race, one of the gentlemen, one of those iconic voices that you hear on the Performance Radio Network, joins us right here in the studio. It is Mr. Mark Garrow. Mark,
a legend in my own mind.
A legend in your own mind. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
So are we.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, how are you guys? I see everybody down there in the media center. How are you guys covering this monstrous facility?
Well, today we have more turn announcers on the racetrack than we have ever had. We don't need this many, don't use this many at Sonoma. But here, because we really want to give people the flavor of the race, you could put somebody up high and kind of have them describe, you know, about half of this racetrack. But we have a guy in turn one. We have a guy in the S's. In total, we have six turn guys out there along with Doug and I. So there's eight people doing the play-by-play today. And even after all these years of doing it, and I date myself by saying I was on the air with MRN when Richard Petty won his 200th race, that dates me. My first road course race was at the now defunct Riverside Speedway, so again, I'm kind of dating myself. But even at this time, when we get guys kind of floating between each other, and we're going from man to man, position to position, turn to turn, no voice cues, just kind of inflections and different things. Amazing. Working there. Even we're amazed sometimes. Yeah. And we plugged in all these guys yesterday, and you sit there and go, wow, that's pretty sporty right there. It's a lot of people not to get tangled up and step on each other.
It's amazing how you guys do it. Absolutely.
So, Mark, you've run some stuff at TMS when you get to do the broadcast up there. What's your first impression of this place down here in Austin?
I was just blown away. I mean, absolutely, honestly, just blown away. And before I leave today, we're using Bobby Epstein's office, and he has been so gracious to turn his office because it's got such a great view of the straightaway, and he's been so gracious.
They put you in the outhouse, huh?
Well, yeah. And bumper pool table and all kinds of cool pictures. I mean, it's a great office, and we can't thank him enough for doing that. But I got to put the arm on him and you know, Brian I'm coming back for the Formula One race. Nice. I mean, this place absolutely blew me away. It is the nicest short track. Sonoma is beautiful, and it is great. But this is so purpose-built for what they're trying to accomplish here. Just everything, the track, the facilities, the towers, the fan zone, just everything is just on a scale of 10, it's a 15.
Nice. It's good to hear. Good to hear.
By the way, Formula One, 5 months from tomorrow, the Formula One United States Grand Prix returns to Circuit of the Americas. So there you go.
Am I allowed to come back as a guest if I can get down?
Are you kidding? You're with us.
Formula One race. All right, good.
You're going to be my co-host.
You'll be on the crew.
I follow Formula One. As a matter of fact, today Doug says, "Look, I know you're following us." Yeah, Sebastian Vettel, Red Bull. Can you believe Carlos Sainz and the Ferrari finishing second?
How about
he's going
that?
Like, what?
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we were actually joking in the media center. One of our colleagues asked to put the Monaco Grand Prix on the big screen. I said, is it, you know, watching F1 at NASCAR, is that kind of like crossing the streams, you know, that type
of
thing?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody in NASCAR is a motorsports fan.
Sure.
Which is why we're all kind of bummed out about them running Monaco a week before Memorial Day weekend, because for years, you wake up early right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You catch the pre-show on Sky. You get the, mm-hmm. the Monaco Grand Prix. Then you tune in the Indy 500. And then, you know, here we go with the Coke 600. I mean, if you're a racing junkie, it's overdose day,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
And so it's kind of a bummer. But most people in the sport, you know, I may prefer NASCAR because I've been around it a long time. But we can appreciate IndyCar and how competitive. I mean, the races at Texas Motor Speedway with IndyCar are just in Indianapolis, they're out of sight. You know, I tell them, if you could run those two tracks back and forth, that'd be a heck of a series.
That's right. So Mark, have you seen, and we know you, and thank you, I mean, we know you've got a post time, to use a horse racing term.
Right.
Have you ever seen a scenario like we're seeing today, where one, you've got an uncharted venue here, there's not a lot of time on the track for these guys, you have a possibility that you may be throwing on rain tires, I know that's relatively new, but have you ever seen a scenario like this where there is all we know is the starting lineup right now, and that is it.
It really is a situation where you have a lot of question marks. And by the way, you know, we can kind of let people know, NASCAR has ordered the teams now to put on rain tires.
They're to start
the race on rain tires. And that way, if it starts to sprinkle, they can make the assertion. They'll tell you it's a wet track or a damp track. Damp, you know, hey, if you want to keep the rain tires on, keep them on. You want to go to slicks, go to slicks. Now, what I would like to see today is kind of what we see in some very interesting Formula One races, where they start out in the rain, it stops, it starts to dry off.
Agree.
Then it starts to gray in the groove, and then you got somebody's going to jump on the pit road, take the slicks, and pray they can stay in that gray railroad track, because as we've seen in Formula One, they're making up time like crazy on the guys with the rain tires, but 1 inch outside the gray into the black, they're gone, whether they're going right or left. So that is certainly something that I'd like to see. I'd like to see a combination of wet, damp, and dry court, and maybe end this thing under dry conditions. I think that would be great.
And one of the things I was talking about yesterday was the simple fact that this, because of the size of Circuit of the Americas, you could have places where, say, it's dry here on the front straightaway, but you go to turn 11 and it could be raining. So you may be driving in and out of weather. You know,
which is what happened with the trucks yesterday. They ended the race on rain tires, and you could hear the crew chiefs telling the drivers, hunt the wet, because those tires can't stand the heat. So they were, at the end of the race, they come out of turn 20 and hug the left side wall, the inside pit wall, because there's water draining. It's kind of banked that way, and there's water over there. Cool the tires down, then blast off back into the groove. So I think that could be, you know, certainly part of the situation today. I'd like to see a combination of everything, because they got a great chance yesterday to practice in the wet. Today what happened is so unique, right? So you practice all day in the rain, and then it's dry for qualifying, right? That has never happened to them. And it's very interesting that five of the top 12 in this race all ran the race yesterday, which means if we come back, and I pray that we do, if we come back, that means there'll be a whole bunch more Cup drivers dropping into the Xfinity Series race next year, I bet you.
So, Mark, let's take a bigger picture of NASCAR. You're one of the industry insiders. Obviously, NASCAR was the first sport back after the pause last year with the COVID-19 break. Now this year, it seems like there's momentum, maybe not as much momentum as they had to end the season. Where's NASCAR at as a bigger picture right now?
Well, I think there's more momentum, actually, because we're looking at the TV ratings. They've been going up. They've been the first or second highest, most watched sporting event each weekend. I think that's a very positive sign. And we're going to all these new venues. Here we are at COTA. We're going to be heading to Road America, the road course at Indy. You know, a lot of new things coming our way. The next gen car is going to be creating a lot of interest. I think NASCAR really got that right, because when you hear the president of NASCAR, Steve Phelps, say we're putting the stock back in stock car, you look at the next gen car, and that's exactly what they've done. And I think that'll be a major step forward. So I think, you know, we lost momentum, but, you know, it's like anything else, guys. It's easy to turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with COVID, it's easy to shut everything down. Then you say, okay, let's go. And you go like, well, we got to start chopping trees. We got to start at the beginning again to ramp everything up. And it takes a while. So I think NASCAR is the same way. Lost some momentum, but I really see it climbing back. More sponsors are coming back into the sport. Again, the TV ratings are up. We've got a lot of radio stations broadcasting us from coast to coast, and of course on Sirius XM. So I think things are in a positive direction. I wouldn't have told you that, you know, 2 years ago. I would have told you, man, what is happening here, man? Is the bottom going to fall out of this thing? But Steve Phelps came along. Steve O'Donnell, Jim France is at the helm now of NASCAR. He's provided a steadying hand. I think he is the one guy people don't talk a whole lot about, but I think he's the guy that righted the ship and got things headed back in the right direction.
Absolutely. And, Mark, we'll cut you loose. Do have one question, though, for you. Mark Garrow, Performance Racing Network. So how important, speaking of that, how important is Nashville? You've got the Nashville Super Speedway. I was talking about this yesterday where everybody said, we don't want to be at Nashville Super Speedway. We absolutely do not want to be at Nashville Super Speedway. The tickets are all sold out. Now we hear the fairgrounds. Maybe you have stuff happening right there.
See, NASCAR's preference. Look, I've done a bunch of races at Nashville Super Speedway. Nice track. But it's 20-some-odd miles out of town. So to call it Nashville is like calling Chicagoland Chicago when it's in Joliet, like an hour's drive away. So the fairgrounds has special meaning to NASCAR. And I hope one of the things on my bucket list is one day to announce a race at the Nashville Fairgrounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that was back when Waltrip and Cuckoo Marlin, Sterling Marlin, you had the country singer there.
Marty Robbins.
And, I mean, they told me so many stories about that place. And so I think NASCAR would prefer that Speedway Motorsports get a deal with the Nashville Fairgrounds and get it done. And they're getting closer and closer to that. And I think that's where the race really belongs in Nashville. And that is no slight against Nashville Super Speedway at all, because it's a neat little racetrack. But really, they need it in downtown because that's where the soccer stadium is, the ice hockey team is, the football team is, the baseball team is. They all have stadiums there. That's where NASCAR belongs. It's a cosmopolitan deal in Nashville.
Absolutely.
And that's where we belong.
No doubt.
I put this in historic perspective because, you know, when they built Circuit of the Americas, of course, certified FIA Formula One track, then it was said NASCAR would never run here. They couldn't run here because of the way the cars. Now, I think we also know there were probably a few other reasons. When they made the announcement last year that, yes, not only are they bringing one series, they're bringing all three series, and they're going to run all 3.4 miles. How shocked were you?
I have to say it caught me a little bit by surprise, but it didn't surprise me in this sense. Again, NASCAR now is very open-minded to change. And you tell that to somebody like Marcus Smith.
Right.
Going like, hey, if you think it and you build it, they'll come. We're with you, right? So I thought it was very creative. And putting this not only Speedway Motorsports first, but putting the sport first for giving up a date at Texas and putting it here. You know, now I know it's a partnership between the track and Speedway Motorsports and all that, but it took some creativity to get it done with Bobby Epstein and his group, which, again, what they've done here blows my mind. And Mr. Epstein could have not been a better host to PRN this weekend at all. We cannot just thank him enough. And, you know, so in that sense, it surprised me. But in another sense, again, NASCAR, very open. You look into what's happened in the last 2-3 years. We went to the Daytona Road Course. You know, when COVID hit, we were the first ones to go back in. All right, we'll run two races at Darlington. We'll run two races at Charlotte. We're going to do whatever it takes. So they were very open to switching around, doing things differently. And that momentum carried into this year. You know, we used to have two road races a year, Sonoma, Watkins Glen.
Yep.
We got seven this year. Now, six were on the original schedule, but when they, and again, this again shows how quick and nimble NASCAR is now. Fontana goes out because California won't allow anybody in. Fine. We'll run the Daytona Road Course. So it's that kind of creativity and willing to pivot and willing to modify what they're doing. I think that's why NASCAR has got so much momentum right now. And who would have ever thought that I would say, you know, in the next 11 races, we're going to run five road courses. What?
Yeah.
NASCAR? You're serious?
It's a brand new business model.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a totally different model. Lastly, so after TMS 1997, that grand opening that was a flood fest.
Right.
Is this really surprising for Texas for you that we're having to deal with some of this?
Well, look, if there's a drought in Texas, just invite NASCAR.
That's right.
I mean, yeah. And
right.
It's always the big tease. First day, beautiful. Hey, it's great. I mean, what we did last fall at Texas, every day I woke up, Groundhog Day. I'd slam the thing like Bill Murray, slam the clock and, you know, throw it on the ground. I mean, I could not believe what we went through last year. But, you know, those things will happen. But again, this shows you how NASCAR is willing to adapt. Before, it's like, well, boys, it's wet. We're not racing. Now it's like, hey, boys, bring your windshield wipers, bring your flashing red lights, have your defoggers already inserted. Because I tell you what, unless it's coming down in biblical proportions that's going to float Noah's boat, we're going to race.
That's right.
And so knowing that and then coming here, hey, like I said, today I want to see some rain. Then I want to start to see it dry out through the day. Okay, we go from rain tires to slicks. Guys getting in the black on slicks. Pew, crash. I mean, there could be everything going on today, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely. Mark, it has been a pleasure. Oh, you have one more, Steve?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
It has been a pleasure.
He's got to go.
We keep saying, one more.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tight.
I appreciate it. Mark, have a great call today, sir, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. And again, we may need you to get back for Formula One.
So well, I'm coming. If Bobby and those folks will let me, I just blanked on Brian's name. Oh, my gosh. Hammond.
Bobby.
Brian Hammond.
There you go.
Hammond. Before I leave, I'm just going to get on my knees and beg him, guys, please. I know the Formula One deal's different, and you got to promise your third child and all that to get a credential. But please.
I know somebody. I think we can.
You know somebody.
We'll work on that.
Guys, it's fantastic. I appreciate you guys letting me have so much time on your racing show. And it's always, I'm a radio guy. I'm like you, man. I love to listen to radio. And when I see three radio guys, I'm all pumped up.
Nice.
All
awesome. Right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Garrow right there from Performance Radio Network, Performance Racing Network. He will be on the air this afternoon as that race gets fired up at
13 minutes
he will be on the air.
He's got to run.
He's running out of the studio. So, man, fantastic conversation right there. And truly, Bobby, you and I, as longtime race announcers, as long as we've done this stuff, the way those guys do it, man, it's unheard of.
It's just crazy the way the transition goes. And listening to the race yesterday, it's one thing. When you and I were announcing, we were able to call a lap and just turn it over to the other person, and you get practice at that. It makes more sense when they're at it, when that super speedway type of deal. You got one guy that's sitting up on a billboard in turns one and two calling that. Sometimes they have somebody on a backstretch. Other times they have somebody in three and four that calls it. Then you got the two guys in the booth. You got, four or five guys calling. They got eight people calling the races today, not including the pit reporters. You didn't even get a chance to talk about the pit reporters. But as big as this track is, listen to it yesterday, the way they were able to do the transitions and listen, the ability to have a conversation with your partner in the booth and listen to the whole race come to you as it comes back to you. That's incredible, and they did a fantastic job yesterday with PRN.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Fox, love NBC. They do a great job. And honestly, the best way to consume one of these races is turn that down and listen to those guys at PRN and MRN. They do a fantastic job. Lots to unpack in this program. We go up to 1:30. That is the start of the race. We'll get you there. We're going to recap everything that happened yesterday. We talked about that truck race. It started wet, ended up dry. Kyle Busch puts on a show in the Xfinity race. We'll unpack that for you, and then we get into the stuff today. We get you ready for the Echo Park Grand Prix right here at Circuit of the Americas. We are live. We're also live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Huge thanks to Mark Garrow for checking in right here live at Circuit of the Americas. Just a great iconic voice right there, man.
Right,
when you hear that, guys, that's, dude, I'm like, man, give me my helmet. Give me my fire suit. I want to go racing. That, I just, you can't help but think, granted, I love television, I love streaming, I love all of that, but guys, I'm an old school guy where, like I was telling him, football, baseball, whatever it is, I like listening to stuff on the radio. I like listening to live play-by-play.
I couldn't agree more. We always say for Longhorn Sports, turn down the TV, turn up Craig. It's same thing like NFL. Kevin Harlan, I think, is
absolutely
just about the
Brad
best.
Brad Sham.
Love Brad Sham. So I'll turn him up. That got me going. I was like, let's do this now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's easier to have the consumption over the radio stuff now with all the apps and everything. You download the PRN app regardless of where you're at. You can listen to the you can listen to the race broadcast. Obviously, with SiriusXM coming in, they broadcast all of the either MRN or PRN mm-hmm. broadcasts, so it follows you wherever. I think that's opened up a whole new generation of being able to listen to races without actually having to see them, because you can listen to a race, you can look at pictures on Twitter, you can look at pictures on Instagram, and you can hear it when you're out and about. So I think that the technology has made it a lot better for the broadcasters that are only voice related, no TV to follow.
Be great to get PRN on a signal here, so folks could check in. I know there for a while, Indianapolis, the 500 would be on a signal somewhere where we could catch that. But really cool the consumption that way, guys. We saw yesterday. Yesterday was a very interesting day. And by the way, the parking lot in front of us is maxed. This parking lot is full. Still no precipitation right now. We don't know.
As of 12:24 p.m.
We're dry. So, but they will start on rain tires, and that was breaking news because we didn't even know that. So let's flash back to yesterday. Trucks come out. We're in a downpour. I mean, it was puddling. I mean, there was water sitting everywhere on this track, Bobby, when they get out there. And I think you and I, as longtime racing guys, our first thought is, how are we going to do this? But that's where we go back to where NASCAR is R&Ding so much on the fly here this weekend, where we watch them, they come out, they get that race in, and it's a hell of a good race.
It was a good race, and I think Mother Nature held out long enough yesterday. When we were at the end of our broadcast, they were doing opening ceremonies, which I think was good. It was just sprinkling during opening ceremonies for the truck race. So that race got progressively worse weather-wise. Like, by the time they dropped the green flag, it was a downpour. It was a monsoon out here. But I think that race worked in the rain yesterday just because of the way the trucks are. I don't think they were as affected by the rain as some of these other sleeker cars, because there's only so many different ways and configurations you can drive a gigantic cardboard rectangle box around a racetrack.
Right.
So they were the ones that I think, because of the bigger bulkiness of it, they were able to dissipate a lot of the water, because everybody's running the same rain tire.
Right. Yeah, and it's not only like what Mark was talking about right there, where they were trying to keep those tires cool, something that could factor in today, and it was factoring in yesterday, because they were talking about this at the end of the race, was they were only issued three sets of rain tires, and that was a much shorter race yesterday. They may be getting four today, I don't know, but if you're predominantly running in the rain, and these guys... It's not like, you know, when you're out on the highway and it starts raining, most people slow down a little bit. You know, they slow down because of the conditions. These guys aren't slowing down. These guys are flat-footing and going. So when we get into a situation like today, because it happened yesterday, a very limited allotment of rain tires, that's going to factor in today, too.
You're absolutely right. By the way, JR, if you got the breaking news sounder, you can fire it off, because just got breaking news from Soda. And they just put this on their Twitter account, at COTA. All on-site parking is full.
Wow, that's good. That's
so
good news.
If you are heading to Coda today, please park at Del Valle High School.
Whoa!
Go Cardinals. Well, actually, I can't say that. I'm a Lake Travis guy.
They're in your district, buddy.
Yeah, they're right. Actually, and we just inherited their former
I know.
Coach.
Come on, don't intensify things here.
But, yes, Del Valle High School now for parking. Shuttles will be waiting there to pick you up. So there you go.
That's good. That's good. That means there's a lot of people here today. They had talked when we were taking the shuttle back yesterday to the parking lot. They had mentioned that they had pre-sold a lot of tickets for just Sunday only, which I think even some of the people with the 3-day passes, if you were here yesterday in the monsoon, you were probably chalked up to what we would call a hardcore race fan.
Yes.
That was some conditions that were rough to sit in, because even we felt like a couple of times we were trapped in a media center because we couldn't go anywhere.
I'll put it in my world. You're like the guy that goes to Buda to watch an independent wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, that's
show.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Although you may end up sitting with Mark Henry, so you know.
You know, I'll tell you one of the things that I thought was really, it was cool just from a perspective of hearing this. So yes. There were a lot of people here yesterday. There was a lot of people here yesterday with the rain and everything that was going on. But the Xfinity cars come out. I'm on pit road. I was doing a live pit walk or whatever I was doing. And they're going through introductions. And you hear, you know, people applauding and doing whatever. They come to Kyle Busch. He's sitting on the pole. They introduce him, and he is getting booed out of the place. And you know, obviously you feel bad for him. I look at him, and it's like he kind of glanced over at me, and it was like, well, whatever. I was standing right by him. But he gets in the car, and my thought was, okay, that we're getting there. When we're talking about making NASCAR a racing town, when you get that response, something's working.
Yes, absolutely. They have – you get the – you know, the heels and the faces.
Absolutely.
With the right reaction.
So what it's all about.
As it says. So, yeah, that was really good. And again, you know, Mark talking about the hospitality of COTA. Look, I see Bobby Epstein every time I'm out here. I always make sure to walk up to him. And, you know, you could see that smile from ear to ear. So, yeah, you can imagine that smile being even bigger for this weekend.
Well, the good news is hopefully we'll find out in the middle part of the race like they did at Bristol. They're going to announce that they're going to bring it back. That was one of the things right in the middle of the Bristol Dirt Race, and that was actually on the Monday that they decided that they wanted to bring it back. So hopefully we can hear good news, another breaking news sounder midway through the race.
But that would be awesome.
I think the way that this race has been transitioned, I think that we love our friends in the media in the general vicinity. Still need to adjust some of the coverage a little bit. Not as pleased as what I thought I would be with some of the coverage. I get that, you know, congratulations to UT for winning the Big 12 regular season championship. I get all that. They won a national title in tennis. That I get. I get it. We're Austin, and we love the Longhorns.
But we're the flagship.
Sure, absolutely.
We're the flagship for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I do have to give a big shout out our friends over at Fox 7. I mean, not only because they let my ugly mug go on there, but the fact is that they have been all over this. I mean, Chelsea Andrews is doing racing forecasts. I mean, it's very much like I was telling you, Stu. It's very much a Dallas-type coverage of – obviously, they're the Fox affiliate, so they want this to be successful. But Fox 7 has really been with us for a long time. I mean, back to Ann White Little was really the one that jumped on and really helped drive the coverage. But it'll get there. Today is going to be substantially better. I did see some good footage, you know, on Channel 7 from the race yesterday, and I want to ask you guys about that race yesterday. So. The Xfinity race, once we finally see the cars on the track, we hadn't gotten any look at them. To see the Xfinity race yesterday in dry conditions, they're running on the slick tires, they run the full race. Bobby, your thoughts where we actually saw, where we get into these technical parts of the racetrack, and we see side-by-side, these guys are adapting really well.
And the Xfinity Series is not known for having caution-free races. There were a couple of cautions, but you didn't have the big incidents that we all thought you were going to do when they pulled up into Turn 1, either on a restart, the main restart, or one of the restarts from the stages. So, you know, even the truck race went caution-free yesterday. That was a shocker in the downpour.
In the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that to see the cars within the S's, it gives you another respect for the Xfinity Series. A lot of people always instantaneously want to call it the lower tier series, and I get that it's not the top level of the Cup Series, and there's a big transition when you go from the Xfinity Series to the Cup Series. But I thought those guys collectively, and the Truck Series guys too, with all three National Series here, I thought both series held their own in terms of the respectability of the driver talent.
And that's one thing you mentioned, the Truck Series. You know, because we saw some trucks end up pointing the wrong direction, maybe do a couple of circles. The Xfinity guys, as you mentioned, as you know, you get into like past stage one, if it was like, okay, we can do this, and then it felt like, let's do it, pedal to the metal, let's do something we haven't done. And it looked like they had a lot of fun out there, a lot of challenging, like you said, a lot of side by side. I know we saw some three wide, four wide. And it was good to see, and I'm hoping that's what we'll see today with the Cup guys.
And that's the beauty of this with all three series is that when they come back, I'm going to say when they come back. I know we keep saying if, even Mark saying when they come back, they'll have that toolkit. They're going to have a better idea, but to really watch everything that we've seen so far, again, these teams are so well equipped. They've got engineers and all of these folks that do their jobs exceptionally well. But I think for all of this being totally new, just in the two races that we've seen, totally new to these teams, I think that they have come into this place. You can tell they've obviously done their homework. They've had this thing circled where they've gone in and they've done all of the work that they need to do on the backside. The trucks and the cars, they both responded really, really, really well to the racetrack. And again, this is where I think it's just fascinating to hear the horsepower at this place.
Well, it's crazy. And you talked about the race teams doing their homework and everything else. It's kind of like when we talked about Bristol, right? Everybody was talking about, oh, Bristol's not going to be very good. They're not going to bring the best cars and all that. This is the top form of racing in North America. They're going to bring the best of the best at every racetrack they go to. They've done their homework. The horsepower, I want to hear the cup cars. They sounded fantastic this morning in the dry conditions when they got a chance to qualify. You know, and that was in group qualifying. I can only imagine what it's going to sound like when you get 40 of those fire-breathing machines coming down, turning 18, 19, into 20, going up that hill. I bet the sound is going to be amazing.
And you mentioned about, you know, when NASCAR comes back. And you think about it not only from NASCAR's point of view, but you look at it from COTA's point of view. You'll be the only track in North America that can tout every racing series that there is, from NASCAR, IndyCar, F1, Le Mans, MotoGP, all of them.
Yeah.
To be the one spot in the world, I guess, because obviously NASCAR doesn't go outside the United States.
Yet.
But that's got to be something that's in the back of the mind of management here at Circuit of the Americas.
And it really is, like we talked about yesterday, guys, where we said that this was going to be, this place has struggled, and we have talked about it ad nauseum at times just in the past about everything that this place has gone through. I mean, whether it be financial stuff or, stuff with the state and just everything. But for this to happen like this, and when you tell me that parking is full on a, quite frankly, crappy weekend.
Yeah.
And a crappy weather weekend, when you fill this place, when you can no longer park here, that's where that full transformation of Circuit of the Americas to that world-class facility that it is indeed, I think that's really where it's hitting that point. And I think the sky's the limit right now. And to have this here, this place is going to dazzle so much that maybe we look 3, 4, 5 years down the road, once this new NASCAR car cycles in, once this new NASCAR schedule really cycles itself out and we add whatever else street courses we're going to add, this place might end up in the playoffs. You just never know.
Well, I think the way that this place worked, Mark alluded to it too, about how mesmerizing this place is. And that's from a media perspective. We hadn't even got to go over to the fan concourse this time, or even over to the main grandstands. This place is impressive regardless of where you go. And the other thing you talk about with the parking issue, it's not like the parking lots here are tiny.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of parking here that's on this grounds. Now, granted, some of the parking got taken up by the campers, but not enough to really make it. And if the parking lots are full, even with the campgrounds, there's a lot of people that are here.
Yeah, there are at least half a dozen different parking lots from Lot A, which is right out in front. You know, you get to go in there. Lots B and C over by the main grandstand. That's usually where you park if you're going to Austin Bold or the AG's Rugby. You got Lot T where we are. You got the different areas. I mean, it's going to be, and I want to see like what the other grandstands look like, because everybody focuses on the grandstand here on the front, right? But, you know, I love to see that turn one grandstand full. I want to see turn 15.
It looked good yesterday.
It looked great. So I think that's going to be one of those things. Again, it builds it up. And here's I'm going to go pie in the sky. We've seen drivers cross series. Romain Grosjean, who drove here for Haas F1, now, of course, in IndyCar. When do we get either like maybe F2, F3 driver decide, you know what, let me try Xfinity?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had guys that and that's always kind of been the ironic situation there. We've had guys that cross over, and that level of success has been pretty limited. And
yes.
I'm one where I get extremely irritated when people laugh at Juan Pablo Montoya. In my opinion, Juan Pablo Montoya is one of the best drivers in the world that we have ever seen. He won a couple of these races, and people, well, yeah, they were road races. It doesn't matter. I don't care. You win on the NASCAR. It's like when people say, so-and-so, Chris Buescher won the race at Pocono because it rained. I don't care. It will always say that he was a race winner in NASCAR. But for the crossover is tough, whichever way you're going. For crying out loud, we're watching right now Jimmy Johnson in the struggle
exactly.
of his life right now, where we thought that he was going to be really, really good. He was pretty good by himself. But it's like when I was racing, I'd go out and race, and I'd run real fast when there wasn't anybody around. And my dad would say, well, yeah, you're really, really good right now, but what about when everybody else gets around you?
Yeah.
And that's really what we continue to watch here. That crossover's tough.
The crossover's tough, even when you think about somebody like a world-class champion like Fernando Alonso.
Absolutely.
Open wheel to open wheel, going from Formula One to IndyCar to try to just run the one-off race with the Indianapolis 500. And that was challenging. He didn't even make the race 1 year. Now, granted, you could say, was that a team issue? Was that a driver issue? More than likely, if it was performance-based, that was a whole team issue. But that's a whole other issue for a different show. But the crossover portion, even with going from open-wheel discipline to open-wheel discipline, is pretty tough. I don't know that we'll actually see a Formula One guy transition into NASCAR again. I think that Montoya was the trailblazer, but I think he put that fire out behind him. No pun intended to the, you know, jet dryer incident either. I thought he put that fire out behind him when the experiment was finally, you know what, I'm going to go back to IndyCar running the 500.
Do you want to talk about F1? We'll break that down here at some point before we get to the cup race, and we will have your cup breakdown coming up. We're going live, local, and digital to 1:30, presented by AMM Collision and Busch Light here from Circuit of the Americas. Guys, have to ask you, saw just a stunning story yesterday from Indianapolis. They qualify. They're going to do the Fast 9 today. They do the last row shootout. Will Power is in jeopardy of missing the Indianapolis 500. Penske did not have the speed that they need. Bobby, a Will Powerless Indianapolis 500, that is weird to say that.
It's weird to say, but I don't think he's going to have that problem because it was a cluster at the end of that qualifying session yesterday. You go and read all the details where the way that the AJ Foyt car was sitting, it was locked in on time at the 30th. So Will Power was actually still going faster than the guys that were locked in at 30th, but there was some kind of issue with the clocks not wanting to match up and doing that. I think Will Power is going to make the 500. I think our friend Peretta Autosports over there, Beth and them, they just hadn't had the speed that they needed to try to make the race. I hope they do because it's such a cool story with what Beth and the gang over there are trying to do. But that's going to be an uphill battle for them. But I'm pretty sure. I probably put a dollar or two down with the advice of Wags to say that, you know.
I'm sure he's going to get in, and it is. I mean, I would love for Simona DeSilvestro to be able to get into that field because you can catch that podcast at hornfm.com. Just a great discussion there with Beth Peretta, with Peretta Autosport, everything. I mean, they threw that together really quick. I mean, they've got great alliances and resources with Penske, but it's still a lot to put together to try to get into the Indianapolis 500. And that's coming up next week, guys. So it's really a nice little run here. Yes, I totally agree with what we were talking about earlier. It's weird to have Monaco today, but it's better than last year because we had no Monaco at all. So I'm good with that. But I don't know. Early Indy 500 thoughts. Dixon is there. What are we feeling at this point?
I think that the pace of it, when you look at the initial numbers, we were talking about it here before we went on there yesterday with Dixon popping in at a 233. Track records are 236. Now you're not going to gain 3 miles an hour. But, I mean, those guys are blistering fast around there. I think the problem with the Indianapolis 500 now is that you don't get the mainstream coverage that you got. A lot of the programming that NBC has been on Peacock. Now, while, yes, Peacock has a section of stuff on their programming that's free, it's still not traditional enough. We have this conversation on here all the time, app versus real-time watching on TV. There's even been a discussion today about Fox not having Coda on the race today on Network Fox. So I think because of the fact that some of that racing has been on Peacock, you don't have that mainstream of feel that you used to have to where it was nonstop with Carb Day and all kind of stuff. That's all.
It's a full presentation.
But it's all going to be online. It's all going to be digital.
I will say this, and this leads into my world with pro wrestling. So Peacock, NBC Universal is pushing a lot of their sports properties to Peacock. They're shutting down NBC Sports Network come this fall. And we have seen it with the WWE content that is on Peacock. You know, they basically shut down the WWE network in the United States, so everything's now on Peacock. And they're doing the same thing, I think, with a lot of the NHL, IndyCar, as you mentioned, some of the other sports that, you know, they're even going to, you know, stream Sunday Night Football on Peacock.
That's right.
So I think it's a matter of, and it's one of those things, we always have this discussion on our show about, you know, the younger generation streams more than watches live TV. And I think maybe they're just getting ahead of it. I think there's still a solid audience for actual, like, cable live TV. But I think it's starting to get there. Now, when it completely gets there,
right,
it's anybody's
guess. Yes, absolutely. good stuff right there. The Indy 500 coming up next Sunday. And, of course, we will get you locked and loaded ready for that as well. AMM Collision Center celebrating 30 years, doing it locally, your leader in auto repair and customer service. All started right there along the Austin Motor Mile. Now there are locations all around Austin, the Hill Country. They are your go-to place. It is AMM Collision, ammcollision.com. Free estimates, 24-hour towing, lifetime warranties on all work. They accept all major insurance. They'll do that insurance, that headache. They will take care of that for you. They handle all of that. Their reputation is no accident. That's not just a tagline. That is the truth. They help make an experience. When you get in an auto accident, it is extremely painful. Hopefully nobody hurt. Hopefully the physical part is good. But when it comes to getting that sled repaired, man, that is when it gets stressful and painful. These experts help you get through that a little bit easier. No, a lot easier. And those turn times, they are the quickest in the industry, and they will take care of you. AMM Collision, they're the title sponsor right here of Revved Up ATX. Check them out. Their reputation is no accident. Coming up, quick Formula One breakdown, then we get you ready. We set the starting lineup, and we give you our, maybe predictions, but we give you our solid facts right here from Circuit of the Americas. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. It's 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Special race day edition of Revved Up ATX, your Sunday on the Horn. John Reichel back at the Horn Studio. Showtime Bobby Chaffee, Stu Meyer, Rodney Rodriguez overlooking the front straightaway of the beautiful Circuit of the Americas that now has a max capacity parking lot areas. If you're heading out to the racetrack right now, you have to head over to Del Valle High School and shuttle your way here to COTA. Free, of course, will be that shuttle, but you have to do it from Del Valle High School. These parking lots are full. That was our breaking news here as we came on the air this afternoon. A big thanks as well. Mark Garrow checking in from PRN. Just a great conversation right there from one of those iconic voices in the motorsports broadcasting industry, as BK says, as he checked in with us here at the beginning of the show. Going to hit that NASCAR cover or Echo Park Grand Prix coverage here in just a second. Before we do that, guys, Max Verstappen wins the Monaco Grand Prix, which we're doing it a week earlier than we usually do. But it's Verstappen, and really, if you want to talk about breaking news, I told you guys this. I told you, Stu, to be sitting here on May the 23rd or whatever today is, May the 23rd, and to say that Lewis Hamilton is not the FIA point leader, that right there is a stunner.
You're absolutely right, and it's yeah, because now, so Verstappen has a, I think, 4-point lead. It was going to be 5, but Lewis Hamilton was able to get a fastest lap, so yep, he got the extra point. But Verstappen, as of right now, leads the points in F1.
It's crazy.
You feel bad for Charles Leclerc from Ferrari. He qualifies for the pole yesterday, but he wrecked as he was coming across the finish line, ends up not even be able to start today. He had to sit in the garage as the other 19 cars take the formation lap there in Monaco. So Verstappen, I mean, it was, and he led every lap, 78 laps. It wasn't even a question.
That's how you do it.
You know, good tire strategy, which that is essential in Formula One. So congratulations to Red Bull. It was Red Bull, Ferrari, and McLaren on the podium.
And that's what I was going to say, Bobby. We've talked about it in the past. We mentioned it yesterday that McLaren, a little ahead of schedule with everything right now. That, I mean, we're not going to – what from today, we're not going to automatically punch their ticket as a contender right here. But to see them pull a podium at Monaco, I mean, that's something that you have to put that in the memory bank and think, okay, now we really do have we've got a little bit of parity in Formula One.
Well, a little bit. Now, how long it lasts is going to be another story. Now, Monaco has been its own beast just because of the fact that it's a street course, but the streets, as Stu and I were having that conversation this morning, it still amazes me how tight the turns are in Monaco, how it's the same layout they've been running forever, almost since the exception of the race, minus a few changes here and there. But as fast as the modern-day Formula One cars, and they're still racing on the streets of Monaco in the same configuration, it just blows my mind. And that race always seems to have some type of kind of unique flair, kind of an upset feeling to it because it's one of those marquee events on the Formula One calendar. But I also think today's race proved that when somebody nails a setup in Formula One, they are gone. Normally it's Hamilton and Mercedes. Today it's Verstappen and Red Bull. Domination, just gone. Nobody could touch him. Sure, there was some decent racing, but we saw whether the problem with Formula One is we still don't see the side-by-side craziness action that goes along with it, and I think that's the part that's come crazy to me is because there just isn't going to be the problematic thing with Formula One is that they just have no competition. Sure, we got three teams, the new teams on the podium today, but Verstappen just sat there and he just took them to the woodshed very badly today.
He did. He really did, and it's... It is good to see that because it does add that excitement right there where you know, it is building up. And when it's the Lewis Hamilton or, you know, Sebastian Vettel or whoever, when it's that same show every week, you know, you get that added element right there of good competition. And that's really gonna get the folks excited. And for the folks, the F1 folks here in Austin and Central Texas and Mexico that will come here to COTA to watch that race at USGP, that only adds a little bit more to that. So we finally got our qualifying done as we transition over to why we're all here, the Echo Park Grand Prix, the first NASCAR Cup race here at Circuit of the Americas. Tyler Reddick wins the pole here this afternoon. And that was, this morning. I guess it was actually this morning. And we have some sound from him. We'll get to that in a second. Stu chased him down in Speedway Stu fashion and got some great conversation from him. But, guys, we haven't had any preview of any of this. We saw a little bit yesterday. But I think yesterday everybody was concerned more about weather than anything else. The guys get out on the slicks. They come out. And they're hauling the mail on this racetrack.
They really were. They really were. As you mentioned, I was able to catch up. They did a media availability with him right outside our media center. So, and I asked him if JR can set this up, get it going. One of the first questions I asked him, because one of the things we always talked about with NASCAR is turn one. So I asked Tyler Reddick what his thoughts on that iconic turn one at Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, I mean, when you stand down on pit lane or on the racetrack, or if there's ever a camera shot showing that uphill, I mean, it opens up a lot, and then it funnels down really, really quick into one of the tightest corners we have on this track. So, you know, just got to be very careful. I think a lot of us drivers are pretty familiar with, you know, how quickly things can go wrong in a day there, but it's always in the back of your mind, right? Like, you know, coming to the green first time, drivers, you know, trying to figure out how deep they can drive into that corner the first time by. It's always in the back of your mind, and we'll be ready and prepared for anything on that first start. We definitely don't want to end our day in turn one, but I feel like where we're starting, we're around a lot of good cars that understand that, and it's just exciting to be where we're at, and I'm excited to see how our race unfolds.
And it was a situation where I thought what was really cool about watching them in qualifying today was we kept watching different guys go to the top of the pylon. And the group qualifying is something that came in to be a little bit right before the pandemic set in and just eliminated all qualifying, all of practice. We had the opportunity where they would group qualify. And that was, again, that was a great move by NASCAR, I thought, because what that does – that gives, I mean, single car qualifying, that one there, pack a pillow for crying out loud, because that one will doze you off a little bit. But I really like that we kept seeing guys flash to the top, and the top 10 kept changing. I know during the first round where they pulled the top 12, I was trying to send a tweet, and I kept having to go back because the top 12 was just changing throughout the whole sequence.
And the best part about it was that some of these laps, these guys were just on point. The coverage that we got to see between being on pit road this morning and looking at some of the Fox coverage that they were doing at the same time was when they showed the inlay, right, with one car on top of the other, showing how one car went into this corner deeper and how this line worked a little better than this one. It overdrove the corner. This one cut it a little sharper, stuff like that, to show how close some of these cars are. Tyler Reddick put up a lap that he surprised everybody with it. I mean, he did a fantastic job in the Xfinity race yesterday. You noticed a trend. A lot of the guys that were in Xfinity Series race yesterday were the ones that ended up performing very well, including Austin Cindric, who I thought had an amazing run. He was on the top of the charts there for a good hot minute there for a while. But yeah, Austin Cindric qualified, I think, what, third?
Yes.
Qualified third in, you know, with limited cup starts that he's had. So that one, he runs a chance of being a dark horse today.
Well, and he'll be on row two with Kyle Busch, who won yesterday's Xfinity race. So
Kyle Busch has to be pretty confident, I would think, after yesterday.
You got to believe it.
Because he came out, and again, it was a very, for today's standards, it was a very cup-heavy, like you guys were talking about, a very cup-heavy Xfinity race. So for him to win in the fashion that he did, he's got to be feeling pretty good, and he's got notes. Now he's got notes. He's got a lot of time on the racetrack. He had a lot of time out front, so not only that in the clean air, but he's had time to study this racetrack. But you know what? When I got a couple of texts from folks saying that the rain is heading this way. When the rain gets here, if indeed it does, whether it's heavy, light, whatever it may be, everything that he learned yesterday in that race goes out the window because it was dry the whole time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Kyle Larson qualified second. You got William Byron and Joey Logano. And then I saw a news story from NBC. You got 9 cars that will have to go to the rear. That includes Denny Hamlin. That includes Eric Almirola, Chase Briscoe, Daniel Suarez, Chris Buescher, James Davison, Anthony Alfredo, Eric Jones, and Cody Ware made unapproved adjustments. So they got to start at the rear.
That's gonna change a lot of things. And again, the weather is that other factor that we were talking about, because we don't really have any inclination when Mark Garrow says he doesn't really have an idea what's going to happen here. I mean, because I'll date him. That was 1984 what he was talking about with Richard Petty. And I was going to date myself and ask him something about TWS, but I'm like, no, okay, well, we'll let him do
that. He had to do his own thing, right?
Yeah, we'll let him do that. But do you guys realize, so with the poll here for RCR, this is the first poll, and again, granted, it's only been here in the recent times that we've run this many road course races. This is the first poll for RCR since 1996 at Watkins Glen. That's a dry streak.
That is a huge dry streak.
Yeah.
I think they've won a road course, though.
On a road course,
they've won a pole or two at the Daytona 500.
Yeah, that was a road course slump that they've been in for the pole position. And then remember the time I was thinking about earlier when Reddick sits on the pole. Remember the year Earnhardt busted his shoulder up at Talladega, and he comes out, and I think at Watkins Glen, he comes out, he gets in the car, wins the pole. They've got whoever lined up, I think Skinner.
Yeah.
They had Skinner lined up ready to jump in the car. Earnhardt says, I'm going to get out of the car at the first caution. He never got out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never got out of the car.
It's going to be exciting. I'm so ready for this. Oh, and by the way, for those of you listening, around 2:30, I get to go up the Coda Tower.
This guy.
Somebody's going to have all the luck.
They know me a little bit here. I've done a few races here. So I'll do that on Facebook Live. So make sure you follow us on Facebook at 104.9 The Horn. And I will take you up to the tower with me and give you a sight of the inaugural NASCAR Cup race from 251 feet in the air.
That is going to be beautiful. That will be beautiful. We're actually seeing Chase Briscoe and Cole Custer out walking along pit road right here.
Drive-by.
Yeah, they're checking it out. And that's something we saw it on Friday. Saw Haley Deegan out on the track. They were actually doing a track walk for the drivers because everything is so limited at the moment. But back to that lineup right there. So with Cindric and Kyle Busch sitting there in row number two, that's going to be a pretty star-studded row right there when it comes to probability of getting to the front. And I really want to give a call right there to Austin Cindric, because that's a guy, of course, the son of Tim Cindric, who is very high in the operation there with Penske. But Austin Cindric is your defending champion in the Xfinity Series, a very good race car driver. He'll be jumping in the Wood Brothers number 21 next year, as he will take that as a full-time ride. But Cindric is a guy where, again, we only put him in underdog status because he's not a full-time cup guy. He's very, very good. But when you get a guy like that, guys, this is something where all of these guys want to win this. That trophy just in and of itself is just fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go to At The Horn ATX, and it's there. It's at Revved Up ATX. There's pictures everywhere of that. But your guys' thoughts on being the guy to win the inaugural race, that's got to be huge.
You know, we saw it in 2019 when IndyCar was here with Colton Herta, not only winning his first race ever, but winning the first IndyCar race at Circuit of the Americas. We've heard, it's more history. So you got to believe, especially when this becomes a regular stop on the NASCAR circuit, that's going to be huge to say yes, but I was the first one to conquer Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's coming up. We are just about a half hour away before we get ready to drop that green flag. We're going to take you right up to the start of the race. We're going to take you right up to that. Listen to us. Then you flip on your TV. If you got PRN, turn that volume down. Listen to our man, Mark Garrow, and you can check it out there. Still have 30 minutes of coverage coming up live from Circuit of the Americas. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of this, and we'll break down the rest of the grid, let you know who to watch, let you know who might surprise some people, and all of the rest of it. It's Revved Up ATX. We're live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Hour number two of your race day edition of Revved Up ATX, coming to you from Circuit of the Americas live. We're live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app at hornfm.com, and we are live on site. Stu Myrick engineering this bad boy right here on site. Showtime, Bobby Chaffee, and it is JR, John Reichel, the crew chief, back at Horn Central as he is making sure everything is rolling right along as we get you ready for the inaugural Echo Park Grand Prix here at COTA. Guys, the lineup is set, so let's figure this thing out. There's if you're listening from somewhere else and you haven't seen anything on FS1 at this point, there is a strong possibility it is going to rain at some point during this race. We don't know if it's going to be the majority of the race. We don't know if it's going to be just for a little bit of this race. The one thing that we do know is that these cars qualified on the Goodyear Eagle Slicks this morning at 10 o'clock. But as we've had clouds coming in, ambient conditions are starting to change here at the track. One thing, the parking lots are full. That's a really good thing. But NASCAR has told the teams, we will start the race on the rain tires. That changes everything. The qualifying that we saw, yes, Tyler Reddick on the point. He'll bring the field down, but you bolt the rain tires on, it's different traction on the track. It changes the setup of the car. It changes the way that these guys are going to have to drive these cars this afternoon. Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson on the front row, they're going to pace the field. They're going to bring everybody down. Guys, legitimately, I've been telling everybody all week. I've talked to most of the weekday show hosts, talked to Wags before this. You start at Chase Elliott, Bobby. You start at Chase Elliott. That's the guy everybody's saying. The People's Champ is a guy to beat, for crying out loud. He's won four of the last five. Who do we look at? Who is going to be the one, in your opinion, that's going to come in here and really give the People's Champion the joust right there that we keep hoping somebody's going to do on a road course?
Well, I don't know if I could pick just one. The first name that pops out at me is the guy that's starting right next to Chase Elliott, and AJ Allmendinger. He had a lot of good success yesterday in the Xfinity Series race, finishing second. I think that there's a lot of guys that can stand a chance to be a really big challenge to Chase Elliott. His teammate Kyle Larson was up front for a good portion of the second round of qualifying until that lap got put in by Tyler Reddick. It's going to be hard to pick just one. Obviously, Chase Elliott is your one, but there's a couple down there, 1A, 1B, 1C.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are so many guys that are going to factor into this. And one of the things that a lot of folks have asked me, I know Wags was asking me earlier, or I think it was actually Zay, it's like, you know, which car's better? You know, is it a Chevrolet, a Toyota, a Ford? I mean, who's running better? And there's a lot that really goes into that, because for the most part, when we're going to look at, I mean, you can't, everybody does the same thing suspension-wise. Everybody runs the same components. It all comes down to preparation, which, again, we've been talking about it throughout the last couple of days. There hasn't been a lot of time to prepare for this. And, oh, by the way, you throw the conditions in, Stu, and that anything that you have, you don't really know if you're going to get to use it. How important, in your opinion, pit strategy and adjusting on the fly, literally, how important is that going to be this afternoon?
I think it's going to be vital. Again, it's a matter of switching out the tires. Like you said, they're going to get in a sense of when they may need the rain tires. It's brakes. They got to look at brakes. That's one of the things I've asked every driver I've been able to talk to, is the braking, because of those braking zones, because you're doing turns that you don't normally do in a stock car. So that's going to be vital. They've got to be able to get in, get out. You know, we're not talking the 3 second ones like in Formula One, but they've got to have those good pit stops. You know, time it right, all that good stuff. They're running 68 laps, so you figure usual Formula One 66 laps. So they're doing three stages. So plan those strategies out. Again, you got to play the weather a little bit. I'm looking at Fox 7's radar. It is, there is some rain heading our way. It's coming through Gonzales right now.
Called patches.
So we're going to get some patches. I don't know that it's going to be like crazy, but it's we're going to have steady in and off. And again, could be raining here and not raining in the
That's the tricky part about this. This place is so massive. And I really think a storyline coming into this is we're coming off of a week where Hendrick Motorsports goes 1, 2, 3, 4 at Dover. I know Dover isn't anything like this. That's the Monster Mile. This is its own different monster right here. I am just so impressed with the resurgence of – I say resurgence, but it really is a resurgence, Bobby, because Hendrick Motorsports, as successful as they've been over the years – I mean, you go back, Jeff Gordon, Terry Labonte, Ricky Craven. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Jeff Bodine, you know, dating back to 1984, 6. They've been so good. And Jimmy Johnson steps away, and it seems like maybe that was kind of that last piece where Jimmy Johnson's era closed, and we've talked about this in the past. Jimmy Johnson's era closed. Now Hendrick has the youngest stable of drivers, and boy, oh boy, aren't these guys performing. These guys are so good right now.
Well, I think that it goes back to the momentum, right? You, depending on who you talk to about any sport, they say whether momentum is real or not. That company as a whole to finish all four cars in 1, 2, 3, 4, that company has got the most momentum it's had in a long time. And it comes from the top down with Rick Hendrick and everything else. Is it possible for them to happen today? It's not going to happen. They may go 1, 2 with Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, depending on which way you want to put them in the order. But it is one thing to have it happen at a Dover where that the team has been so successful. There's a lot of factors you can tie into that. One is Chad Knaus moving up in the order at the competition side. Obviously, the numbers for him and Jimmy Johnson at Dover are outstanding and amazing. Then you put Earl Malik, the former car chief there for the 48 car. It is now car chief, the lead of all the car chiefs. I don't know his exact title. But it's incredible to see what Hendrick did. And I think the difference is now between the Hendrick of old, nobody got really upset that Hendrick finished 1, 2, 3, 4. If this had happened a couple of years ago with Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and those guys, the industry would have been in an uproar.
Yeah, they really would have. They really would have. And I think something that we haven't talked a lot about it throughout all the programming here this week, and it's actually something that we need to bring up right now, is that we're talking about parity in Formula One. We have a lot of parity going on right now in the Cup Series because we've had 13 races. We've had 10 different winners. So you've had guys winning. I mean, and I say 13 races, 10 different winners. One guy's won three, which is Martin Truex, who I think is floating under the radar a little bit this weekend. So, but we'll see with that. Stu, Bobby and I were like ingrained into this, but you've been diving into these stats, and when you see 13 races, 10 different faces, what is that telling you? And then you come here.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not just 10 different faces. Different teams.
Right.
That's one of the biggest, you know, as much as I enjoy Formula One, one of the biggest problems. It's always, you know, Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull, or Mercedes, Red Bull, and somebody else. This one, you know, and now you're going to add a track that none of them have ever run before. They've had maybe, 2 hours of drive time total. And, you know, so we could see somebody coming from the back of the pole. You know, or the back of the pack, we could see, for instance, DiBenedetto.
He
surprise
needs
everybody. You know?
Now that would be great. Now him, somebody like him that's waited so long to win their first race. How about if he did it right here at COTA? We'll break down some of those guys because you got DiBenedetto, and there are a bunch of others that we can lay out that have a great chance to win here, even with the heavy favorites that we've been talking about. And we will do that coming up. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live, local, and digital. Always streaming on the Horn app and at HornFM.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
The rag is dropping at COTA for a NASCAR Cup race in about 15 minutes. We will get set. It'll be Tyler Reddick and Kyle Larson bringing them to the start-finish line to get rolling. This is Revved Up ATX. We're live from Circuit of the Americas. Stu Myrick, Bobby Chaffee, Rodney Rodriguez, John Reichel back at the Horn Studios. Guys, we were talking as we were heading out towards the break right there. Guys that can really throw a little monkey wrench into this, and I was talking to some folks earlier. I don't know what it is that when I get a gut instinct, I guess it's because I have a big gut. And what Daniel Suarez has been speaking to me for some reason ever since we saw him. Probably should have won the dirt race at Bristol, which was very much a surprise. With Trackhouse Racing, for crying out loud, you know, that's Pit Bull and that's the upstart team right there. Trackhouse, you know, we've talked about Bubba Wallace there with 2311. Trackhouse Racing as a startup, they have dazzled.
I think there'd be a better chance of Daniel Suarez doing something good today if he didn't already have to start in the back.
Yeah.
Was he speaking to you in Spanish? I mean, I think you have a special spot in your heart for Daniel Suarez.
Yeah. He was. And that's, I really think that that is another obstacle. That is another obstacle. And if you're just checking in, we are still dry at the track right now. The cars will start on the Goodyear rain tires. And that was NASCAR. They qualified on the slicks, but they will start on the rain tires. But you've got guys like that. You've got Ross Chastain sitting in the middle of the field. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is a guy. And then you've got Brad Keselowski and Michael McDowell, guys. That's a row that I think when you get McDowell, who's very, very good, that's your defending Daytona 500 champion. If he and Keselowski, that their fellow Ford drivers, you get those guys again, you don't have to worry. Well, you do actually have to worry about the draft here because you've got some wide open spots. But those guys, to watch them work their way through the field is going to be a lot of the intrigue that we see today.
Well, and you mentioned Keselowski. Keselowski got a little bit of extra time when we were here in February for the tire test. So, you know, he's the one that called turn one, you know, the site for calamity.
Right.
If you remember. So, yeah, I could see Keselowski do it. I'm kind of like you, Suarez, for some reason. He's got the motivation to maybe have some success here. It's going to be, you know, I think it's just going to, but again, first time, so we have no clue.
And Austin Dillon has looked really good on the racetrack as well.
How about Austin winning in Austin?
How about that? You know,
one? There's two.
Oh yeah, that's right. And it may be the other. I mean, Cindric may be the one that would do it. We talked about him a little bit earlier. So again, let's channel this race out, guys, as we get ready to go. We don't know what the forecast is going to do. The forecast, quite frankly, threw us for a loop yesterday because I thought the Xfinity race was going to be a mutter, and it wasn't. It was dry. They were on the slicks the whole time. But to see this today, what are you thinking, Bobby? How is this all going to shake out?
I think the part that's going to be the strange one is it's going to come down to strategy like it always does. And I think the strategy is going to depend on the rain. And the problem is, yes, they're going to start on the rain tires, but they're going to come and change those the first chance they got if it's not raining. As long as the conditions stay like they are right now. I mean, obviously, it's not raining here, but we can see radars. You know, we know how those work. We can see the clouds right in front of us and see that they're getting darker. But it's all going to depend on exactly when the strategy comes up to try and come through and make a change on the car, when to come in and change from the slick to the rain tires and stuff like that. That's going to be the challenge of trying to find a way to win this race.
And we will race. Lightning and heavy rain will stop this thing. But the lightning is really the main thing. If you can keep the lightning out of the way, I think everything is going to be fine. So to watch the start is going to be so important because, again, with the rain tire, with the treaded tire, you're not going to get that grip. You're not going to get the grip that you had with the slick. And, again, they've been on the track with the slick. And that's where it puts it into the driver mentality, where so much of this is all about feel. And these guys are going to go back to what they felt when they were out on the track at 10 o'clock. So, you know the juices are going to be flowing. This place is packed. So you know they're going to hit turn 20. They're going to hit the start zone, and they're going to go up Big Red. What are we going to see at Big Red?
I think that's what a lot of us are looking forward to the most. That first rev up the hill, have them go six wide.
My goodness.
I mean, I think that's what we want to see. We want to see. But, you know, again, with what we talked about, how will a – Cup Series stock car handle that iconic turn?
And this really is. We hit it in the first hour, in the first segment. This is a situation that, I mean, I could probably go back and find something similar, but I cannot recall something where we have gone to a new venue, not an oval. We've been to new venues that are ovals, to a new venue like this. This FIA world-class 20-turn crazy elevation racetrack where you've gone to a racetrack like this in a stock car, and now you're having to throw rain tires on to start the race. It's one thing, oh yeah, it starts raining, then you got to go change them. But now everything has done a 180 since qualifying.
I think so. I mean, I think that's going to be the challenge that everybody has. And now's the time, fellas. Who you got to win? I know we got a little bit of time left in the show, so we've heard us talking heads the whole time. Who you got to win, Stu? You got somebody in mind?
You know, I'm a lean Chase, but again, it's Kyle Busch. I think Kyle Busch could pull off the double.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to go with my fantasy pick, even though there might have been some medical issues a little bit earlier in the day. But I'm going to go with AJ Allmendinger. I'm still leaning heavy towards the dark horse of Austin Cindric. There's something about that car, the way he ran, and his confidence going into the qualifying this morning. To qualify third against some of the heaviest hitters in the sport, that's pretty impressive. And that's, you know, with everybody, all the unknowns, no one knows anything. That's why I'm leaning towards AJ Allmendinger and Austin Cindric.
Yeah, I do have that great feeling about Suarez, and I'm going to enjoy watching him come through the pack because I think he'll keep the nose clean. Suarez got really, really good at taking care of the equipment, and that's something that he's had to do with Trackhouse, where Suarez comes over and he was in the Gibbs stuff and all of that, and he could just go. But with Trackhouse, as a startup, he's having to be conservative yet aggressive, and that's a fine line to walk. So it's going to be fun to watch him come up through the pack. But when I think it's all said and done, I think Kyle Larson is going to win this race. Kyle Larson has been so good. I just think that it's sitting here, and it's for the taking. Final thoughts, guys, before we get ready to drop the green flag for the first time ever for Cup Racing.
Here for history. This is absolutely history. I honestly don't care who wins. We get a NASCAR Cup race in the ATX. How beautiful is that?
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Looks like they're doing some kind of fireworks or something on the front straightaway. Got a little bit of smoke and mirror stuff in front of us. But I'm like Stu. I'm looking forward to a really outstanding race. And it's nice to say that we finally get a NASCAR race at COTA in the music capital of the world, Austin, Texas. And it's good to see. It's nice to say NASCAR is here and hear NASCAR on the television.
Speaking of that, Cody Johnson will sing the national anthem, our sister station down the hallway, Coke FM, being represented right there. You got Cody Johnson, Matthew McConaughey, the Minister of Culture, will drop the Gentleman Start Your Engine, so that'll be fantastic. I'm sure that's going to be a massive ovation when you hear that. But we're taking you right up. It's time to go NASCAR Cup Racing in Austin. I know it's Elroy. Elroy Knights is the new thing that we will be doing. Stu, thank you, man, for taking the time to come out here this weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you all for letting me play. By the way, cheap plug, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. We'll get you ready for AEW Double or Nothing.
John Reichel back at the studio. He's Bobby Chaffee. I'm Rodney Rodriguez. Big thanks to Chad Hastings, Aaron Hogan, Christina Killingsworth, Trevor Hines, all the fine folks, Derek Cohen, that made this weekend happen. Let's go racing in Austin, Texas. We are back next Saturday. It's Revved Up ATX, live, local, and digital. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.